Hello, everybody. Welcome to Trust Me, It's Good. Trust me, it's 2019, and I don't care what you say, that's the future.
What?
2019 is the first time that you say a year and you're like, holy shit, that's the future.
That sounds really far away.
Yeah, because there's like, I think Blade Runner is set in 2019. There's other movies like this.
It's 4 years since the future in Back to the Future. So
what?
That was 2015, wasn't it? I think it was.
Oh my god.
30 years on from 1985. Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, it's lucky
we still
that
don't have any hoverboard, like real hoverboard.
It's lucky that I don't really like that movie. But yeah, 2019 just really feels like, no, we're all dead by then. Surely some kind of comet is going to hit us.
There's still 11 months to go.
Oh, here's hoping.
Keep watching the skies.
Oh, if a comet doesn't kill you, this podcast might. It's happy to be back as always, and we're starting the year off the way we kind of spent most of it last year, giving out about video games
and rambling.
Already a minute and a half into this episode and I've already said we're all going to be killed by a comet. Yes, 2018 was a flipping big year for games. We ended last year talking about our favorite music, our favorite albums, gigs, whatever. And I hope you had some favourites too. But now we're kind of going to talk a little bit of some of our favourites, our favourite video games of 2018. And I think there's one that, well, my favourite video game, I spoke about before, of last year, it is the Spider-Man game. And since then, you have played it.
I listened to the podcast myself because I always listen back to, get some tips on how to improve the show, obviously.
I'm glad someone does.
And I was listening to you just rant so lovingly about Spider-Man that it did encourage me to go on, and I've got the deluxe edition and I've got all the extra add-ons and everything, and it's just so worth it.
It really
is worth it.
Now, I actually haven't played any of the DLCs yet.
I haven't actually got around to them.
Okay,
yet. I'm keeping them in reserve for later on, but
yeah,
you just can't overstate how important the traversarial parts of the game are, just being able to just swing around the city.
Oh yeah,
that's more fun than all the missions and the fighting and basically everything. If they had just made a game where you were just Spider-Man swinging around New York, I'd have bought that too.
Yeah, free roam Spider-Man.
It's so much fun.
It's and like, yeah, you're right, because that's what you spend most of your time doing in the game as well. That's what Spider-Man spends most of his time doing. Have you seen Into the Spider-Verse?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh. Okay, I was never, growing up as a kid, I'm still a kid now, but you know what I mean. I'm a bigger kid. I was never a huge Spider-Man fan. I don't know, he was all right, he was fine. I was more interested in some of the other heroes. Since Homecoming, since his stuff in Infinity War, now since the video game, and since Into the Spider-Verse, I'm just like, all I care about is Spider-Man. There's also the trailer now for the next one, Far From Home, which also looks great.
Yeah, that looks pretty good, actually.
It does look fun. But Into the Spider-Verse is just fantastic. It really is. Like, all the hype and credit it's getting, it deserves. It looks really cool. The animation style is nice and unique and, kind of, as they say, comic book come to life, but it is.
It looks like that anyway.
When they make a sound on, when someone punches someone or when there's explosion, it says boom on the screen.
Whack.
Whack. Mint. it's just a heap of fun, and it's a really good story, and, it's meaningful as well, and it gets you going, and, you laugh, you cry, you cheer, everything, all of that. And absolutely make sure you 100% stay for the stinger, the scene at the very end after all the credits. Please do that if you ever see it. Or if you're watching at home, just fast forward. It's worth it. So, Into the Spider-Verse, fantastic. Spider-Man video game, I think we can agree, is fantastic. So, that was my game of last year. Would it be yours?
My game of last year?
Yeah.
Ooh. I just got in there at the very end, getting it at the end of December.
Yeah.
It'd be certainly up there, but I think Mafia 3 was probably the game I enjoyed the most.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
I got the most sort of enjoyment out of, and there was so much to do and stuff. But,
yeah. But it actually turned out that the game of the year, as voted by whoever, I don't know who actually votes for it, but it got the award. It was God of War, which was really, I think it's the first time in a couple of years it's been really close competition for Game of the Year between three titles, God of War, Spider-Man, and one other one, which is Red Dead Redemption 2, which I'm going to talk about in a minute.
But absolutely. One of the games that should have been in that conversation, for me anyway, is the Spyro Reignited trilogy. I suppose it wouldn't really be because, you know, it's just a remaster of an old game, so it probably wouldn't be in that sort of conversation.
Well, see, here's the thing, though, and it's the same with the Crash Bandicoot one that came out.
Mm.
It looks completely new. It's obviously built from the ground up. So can you say it's a new game?
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the layout levels are the exact same as the first games and everything. And, you know, you follow the exact same beats. But like you say, there's so much new here to play around with that it's definitely you know, there's so much to explore in the game as well that you're not just, you don't feel like you're retreading all ground. That it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about this, or I wonder if I go around this corner. It's still the same. So it's a much more exploratory kind of game than I imagine. You know, when you were playing back in 1998, you were just go here, collect this, go home. Yeah. Whereas you're kind of enjoying it more now, and like the Spider-Man game, you're kind of, when you move around so much in a game, it has to be really enjoyable. Whereas Spider-Man does it with running, with the swinging through the air. Just the charge motion of Spyro, you know, running around with your horns. I don't know why, but I just find that so much fun. It looks silly and you can do all the jumps and everything. And it's just, I love it so much.
So go on. You are a big Spyro fan.
Yeah, absolutely. My introduction to Spyro was way back with Spyro the Dragon back in 1998. I actually missed Ripto's Rage, which was the second game. And then Spyro Year of the Dragon is still the only game that I've ever completed in one sitting.
Oh, wow. I just
love that so much. Yeah.
That's cool. But, that's nice.
Well, unless you count, I got to the final four in Pokemon Gold, I think, for the Game Boy, which is close enough.
Yeah.
I would have to say. But,
that's impressive still.
But no, the Spyro Year of the Dragon was definitely one of the games that made me think, oh, yeah, this, you know, just the way you can tell a story through a video game, and it's not just shoot these guys and move on. It's, you know, that you can really tell a great story, and there was so many different characters and so many different things to do in Spyro Year of the Dragon that it's great to see that it's coming back, and, you know, there's a whole new audience out there for it and people that would really, really enjoy it. But just to go back to the very start, the Spyro Reignited Trilogy, which features Spyro the Dragon, Spyro 2 Ripto's Rage, and Spyro Year of the Dragon, the third game, that was released back in November. It's a remaster of all the three games. So like I say, you're following the same beats as the old games, but there's still an awful lot here to really explore and, you know, bring a smile to your face if you do remember playing the old games. And if you didn't play the old games, then definitely there's enough here to, you know, explore as well. As you mentioned, the Crash Bandicoot remasters is really what led on to this.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, the Crash Bandicoot creators, Insomniac created Spyro, and Naughty Dog, who created Crash Bandicoot, they were actually from the same building. They were right across the hall from each other, creating those two games,
which were probably
two of the biggest games for the PlayStation back in that stage. And they were literally across the hall from each other. So
when the
Naughty Dog developers would come in and help out with Spyro, and the Spyro guys would go over and, you know, help them out with it. And that's just really fun to think that, you know, all this creativity and all was literally located in one hallway.
Yeah. When the PlayStation first launched back in 90 whatever, they wanted a mascot because you needed to have one. Nintendo had Mario, Sega had Sonic, and so Sony needed someone, and they didn't have one in-house. They didn't really, I don't think they made many games in-house at the start, so the first big mascot was Crash Bandicoot. That was kind of who they pushed first, you know.
And easily Spyro could have been that mascot.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, he's very cuddly, you know, but there's, you know, it's a very bright color, the purple. Originally, he was going to be green, but obviously with the green grass that was going to be everywhere, they had to change him. Okay. And I think purple is a color that really, really suits him. And, you know, like that, he looks like nothing else out there and really stands out. But, of course, he's gone through some changes over the years. I don't know if you've seen Spyro the Skylanders version.
Yes, I have. A while
it's
back.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a 24-year-old man, and I'm not afraid to say that the Spyro in the Skylanders games, it just looks terrifying. Like, it doesn't look like something you're going to market to children.
Oh, he's kind of... he's just like...
He's really ugly, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like a pig. It's a pig dragon.
I think what's happened is that somebody has seen the success of the How to Train Your Dragon movies.
Yes.
And somebody was like, make me one of that, but like make it cool.
So, okay,
with
some, as you
know, signs and stuff.
As you said, he's with the kids. As you said, it's very ugly, but what's uglier is there's a children's costume version of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't like that.
What you're marketing to children.
I don't like that. Parents, don't buy that for your kids for Halloween.
So at least in this new remastered version, it's not a big scary monster like it is in the Skylanders. It's very much an updated version of the Spyro we know and love from back in 1998. So a 20-year anniversary, of course. The real last proper Spyro game, he was involved. They did a sort of a mash-in with... Crash Bandicoot, I think it was around 2007. And then there was like a DS game back in 2005. So that was Shadow Legacy. So that was the real last time we got a proper Spyro game. So you're talking about, 14 years ago since we had a proper Spyro game. So I think there would have been an awful lot of people would have been happy to see this come out. It's done well with the sales and stuff. So
what was the rebooted one that had like Elijah Wood voice him? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I don't have it here now, but I do now that you remember it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was kind of a bit of a flop.
Yeah, a bit. So yeah. We don't really count that one. We'll just say that Shadow Legacy was the last proper Spyro game, and we'll move on from there. but as a remaster should be, everything is a massive improvement from the old games. Quality of the graphics, the voice acting, even the enemies are an awful lot more fun now. It's not just a big slog to... I need to get to the end of this level, so I need to get rid of these. You know, it's interesting that you have to have these little bit of... Like, it's not a tactical game as such, but there is different enemies that you have to use your different powers for. And it makes you think a bit more. And that's really interesting and that kind of stuff. But as you mentioned, it's very much that it looks like a totally different game. And the devs have put an awful lot of, their own sort of spin on it. And even if you go onto the Wikipedia page and you look at the differences between what Spyro level 1 looked like back in 1998 and what it looks like now, I mean, the castle in the 1998 version was literally just four pikes and, the big sort of top bit. Whereas now this is a fully fledged out castle, and even the grass sort of interacts when you move through it and that. And these are really, really small things that a lot of people probably won't notice, but this probably took a week to do on a computer or stuff like that. So, it's really a labor of love, and it's really gone into it. And you can tell that they're just really proud to put this out. And it's an awful lot of love put into this game, I would say.
That's nice. Yeah.
There is a few problems with it, but very much problems that Spyro had originally. The bosses themselves, particularly in the first game, are very, very mediocre. I mean, it's very much, you might die once and you go, okay, I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
And, you just complete the level really, really quickly. Whereas the enemies themselves can be quite tricky at times. The bosses are just a really low step of quality. I don't know what that's about. But there was a problem back in 1998, and it's still a problem now, which is unfortunate. But the best game of the three is still Spyro Year of the Dragon because of the sheer amount of things you can do with all the special characters coming in. Sheila the kangaroo with bouncing around and keeping guys away from the bombs and stuff, and the penguin who runs around with the bombs and everything.
I'm having all these kind of flashbacks right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember a penguin.
And the skateboarding levels and stuff like that. It was just an awful lot. Like, I love those skateboarding games, like Tony Hawk and that kind of stuff back when the PlayStation 1 was absolutely everywhere. And I think Spyro probably had the best skating mechanics of all of those.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing to say, but it was definitely the one I loved.
Suck at Tony Hawk.
The gameplay controls are a little haphazard at times. In a similar way to the boss battles, it's very much, I know how to do this, and there's no real difficulty here. It's just the game won't let me do it. You know, you kind of have to make a jump three or four times, even though you know that's the place you want to jump on. You know, this is the ledge I need to go to, and then Spyro just won't make that jump. It's yeah. like, come on, man, just do it.
Come on, Spyro, come on.
But it's a sort of a whimsical take on Spyro, and it's a lot of great fun that I think adults and children will enjoy this game, no doubt. The characters are really fleshed out now. It's, you know, the voice acting is brilliant. The guy who plays Spyro now, he's actually the same guy that does the SpongeBob voice.
And oh, Tom Kenny.
So Mr. Krabs as well. He's also involved. He does some of the other dragons that are involved in the game. So there's this great sort of, you know, my childhood is just wrapped up in this game because SpongeBob is there. They're skating. And there's, you know, there's Spyro, obviously. So it's an awful lot of fun. And
all I need is a nice big glass of Sunny D and I travel back in time.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to get that right now. I'm going to finish Year of the Dragon while chugging a load of Sunny D. And I don't care how many taxes I have to pay. I'm still a 10-year-old child in my head. But just to finish up, that I think if you really enjoyed the Crash Bandicoot remasters, there's definitely an awful lot for you here. And if you weren't familiar with Spyro back in the day, again, it's not a terribly difficult game. I would say that it is aimed more towards children, but definitely if you were to introduce this to your, you know, your son or daughter or your little brother or whatever, you would find yourself probably enjoying it more than they would, that there is just so much to this game. And it's definitely an early contender, I suppose, for my game of the year so far.
Very nice. Yeah, I've got the Crash Bandicoot remake on Switch, and it's really nice. It's just, you know, as you said, these are things we play as we're kids, and now we're playing them again in a more adult format, kind of.
And you can kind of appreciate them more now because, yeah. you know, you're looking at things like the graphics, you're looking at yeah. things like the gameplay mechanics, and you're not just, oh, that's a cool dragon, let's go make him run over here yeah. and breathe fire.
And dare we say, we're also thinking about the story, when as before we were just like, I just want to run everywhere.
just let me collect all the eggs, man.
It's an interesting, though, like a time where we've got the Spyro remake trilogy, the Crash remake trilogy, we've got now a new Pokemon game with Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. That's basically an up-to-date remake of the first games. Mm. And I just want this. I would like to see more. I'd like to see more of that. Where's my Croc up-to-date oh, yeah. remake? Remember Croc?
I do remember Croc. I wasn't a massive fan. Then,
no, nobody is. Everybody hates Croc. I love Croc. I'm the Croc guy. I want to see a new Croc, but I think it's nice. It's kind of, and also all those, you know, the classic consoles like the PlayStation Classic and the SNES and all that kind of stuff, kind of retro throwbacks, I think is actually kind of cool. If there were good games back then, they're still good games now, so may as well. So that's Spyro. And speaking of good games, let's talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, the biggest thing in the history of things. It was pretty impossible to actually kind of get away from this for a while. If you're any kind of way interested in video games, or if you were just an ordinary person walking around wondering what's that game being advertised on the side of buses and the side of buildings and written in the sky and in my coffee and everywhere. The sequel to, of course, the massively popular Red Dead Redemption by my favourite game developers, Rockstar. I think I've said before how we're both gamers, but I'm not a huge diehard gamer. I have a gaming chair, do let's plays. I don't do anything like that. But the only company that really gets me excited for video games when they come out is Rockstar.
They've had so many hits in the past.
Let's not forget that the highest grossing entertainment product of all time, entertainment, that includes movies and books and music and everything, the highest gross is Grand Theft Auto 5. It's got over like $6 billion it's made. Again,
and they're still making money every single day.
Absolutely, because of all the online stuff. I'll tell you what, they've never got a single cent of my money for their online stuff. Although I bought the game twice. So Red Dead Redemption 2, I could not wait for this game because I was a huge fan of Red Dead Redemption 1. In fact, my all-time favourite video game moment was in Red Dead Redemption 1, when you, maybe a mild spoiler for a game that came out over 10 years ago, who cares?
I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, or nearly 10 years ago, whatever it was. You cross over into Mexico, and there's this part where you're literally just on like a long horse ride.
That's the Jose Gonzalez
song. Jose Gonzalez song, Far Away Plays. And dude, I was not expecting it, and I just sat there, and somehow I was doing it, and it was nighttime in-game. I see videos of online people do, daytime and stuff, depends, I guess. But it was nighttime in the game, looking at the big sky up above, and that song is playing, and I'm like, holy shit. It just blew my mind. I just thought it was an incredible moment.
And I was kind of like that with Bioshock Infinite, where you first head up into the city of Columbia, and you just look around, and everything's up on the clouds and everything, and you just look around and you think, wow.
Yeah.
This is just like, video games really are art. It doesn't matter what anybody says.
Isn't like
there's true artistry in video games when they make them.
Isn't Will the Circle Be Unbroken playing then?
That's later on in the game, but that's another beautiful moment.
Yeah, there. It's so beautiful. It's verging on spooky.
It's the God Only Knows sort of barbershop quartet.
Oh yeah, that's also
cool,
but menacing. But Red Dead Redemption 2, you say art, and this is really interesting. So Red Dead Redemption 2 came out, and I think unsurprising to most, it was met with huge, hugely positive reviews. I've got a bunch of them in front of me. EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly, gave it 10 out of 10. Game Informer, 10 out of 10. Games Radar Plus, 5 stars. Giant Bomb, 5 stars. IGN, 10 out of 10. And so on and so forth. It's got a Metacritic aggregated score of 97 out of 100. So you're like, oh my god, this game's just going to be amazing. Cowboy games are back. And I got the game and I couldn't wait, and I launched right into it. Okay? So I'm just going to give you some information. I'm not going to go through the whole game, because it's the biggest game you will ever play. My god, is it long? And is it huge? The map is ginormous. We talk about maps getting bigger and bigger every game. This is ridiculous. This literally takes you so long to get between places that I hope you enjoy it. If Spider-Man was in this game, it would be great. But if you're just on a horse that's trying to book you off, yeah.
I imagine if I was playing Red Dead, I would absolutely break the mechanics that control the fast travel. Because I would just fast travel everywhere.
Well, I tell you what, one of the first times I properly went for a long ride on the horse, I accidentally killed both myself and the horse, because I tried to jump over what I thought was just a little rock. It turns out it was the edge of a cliff.
Oh, right.
And I just went down. And that was the point where I sat back in my chair and said, oh, here we go. Here we go.
I had to start all the way back from the start again.
Yeah, I got whatever save, the last save I had, and just went from there. This is a really, really incredible piece of work. By the sheer size of it, the amount of content in it, how beautiful it looks. It is a beautiful game. So, the lighting in it. We never talk about lighting in games. Lighting deserves all the credit. It's literally what makes the games look good. There's lots of different kind of different territories throughout the game, different kind of environments, and there's one that's kind of like this kind of swampy New Orleans, Louisiana kind of vibe to it. And you're kind of walking through it, and the light's kind of streaming in between the trees onto the marshes and bogs and everything. And it's just, you're going, holy moly. This is a video game. This is running on a computer right now. And it just looks really, really good. Like, the animation is up there with stuff that would win an Oscar for best animated movie. You know, it's really good. He plays a man called Arthur Morgan, who's a member of the gang of Dutch Vanderlinde. If you played the first Red Dead Redemption, that'll be familiar, because he dies in that one. Because Red Dead Redemption 2 is a prequel to Red Dead Redemption 1. Now, first of all, if it's a prequel, You can't call it two.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, yeah.
That's just, to me, that doesn't work. Frickin' Star Wars yeah. renumbered the old movies, renamed them so they can make new ones that were prequels. I just...
So this should be, what, Red Dead Redemption minus one?
Yeah, well, here we go now. This is not often talked about, but there is another Red Dead Redemption game, another Red Dead game called Red Dead Revolver. And that was way back when. That was on PS2 and that generation. And apparently wasn't very good. And is actually in no way associated with the current Red Dead crop. So kind of, you can ignore it if you want. But you had it there that you could have come up with something else. Something else, Red Dead something. Red Dead Revolution.
Red Dead Remastered.
Red Dead Remastered. Red Dead Red Dead. Something else other than just Red Dead Redemption 2. I guess they just wanted people to know what it is. It makes sense. But when you say Red Dead, we know what it is. So that when that was announced first, that was, oh, it's a prequel. Like, that's really stupid. That's just, I just think it's dumb. You haven't sold me. And also because it's a prequel, you know how it ends.
Yeah, that's yeah. always the problem.
Like, we know how the first... Red Dead Redemption starts with John Marston being, you know, under lock and chain with all the... What do you call those guys? The bounty hunter kind Bandits. Of guys. Bandits. The guys who have his wife and daughter. And you're playing through this game as Arthur Morgan. John Marston is also in Dutch Vanderlyn's gang, and you're like, well, hi, John. I know what's going to happen to your wife. It's your wife and son, I should say, not daughter, son. And I also know what's going to happen to you as well. It's really weird. So you're kind of playing through this game like, well, I know where it's going. This is why I just think prequels are just a stupid idea in reality, really. But moving that aside, the game itself, what you're given, is an incredible experience. It is a work of art. The way you have to go through such realistic experiences, from having to shave, having to watch your weight, having seeing your horse shit, and all this kind of, literally all this kind of stuff, having to throw money into the camp so that your gang survives. It's really, really interesting. You have to hunt, you have to eat, all that kind of stuff. It's really, really interesting. Obviously, you have to go around robbing people and shooting stuff, and there's some missions that, how the game looks, will take your breath away. And you're like, wow, that was really, really, in-depth and really kind of, gets you going.
One important question.
Yes.
Can you shoot somebody's hat off?
You can, the game is so precise and has such minute detail, you can probably shoot their fingernails off.
Ooh.
Yeah, but no, hats go flying everywhere. You actually constantly lose your hat. If you ever, and that also really annoying. I wanted to just get, the string under the hat tie it up there. Now you get your hat back.
That's a downloadable that you have to pay 10 quid.
Oh, you want the hat string edition. You get your hat when you sit back on your horse, but still a bit all right, okay. But all this is leading up to a revelation I had. So I'm going to give a bit of spoilers. Is that okay? Do you mind?
No, go for it.
I mean, it's spoilers. You know what's going to have to happen at the end of it, right? You play as Arthur Morgan. He ends up dying, and what happens is the game ends. You finish, the game goes through chapters and it ends. You go to the last chapter and Arthur Morgan passes away. Then the first epilogue begins, where you start playing as John Marston. And you're like, oh, that lovely tender moment that you ended this game on is gone. It's forgotten about. What's now happening is I'm playing as John Marston, a character who I know what happens to, and he is now running away from the gang and is starting a new life as a ranch hand somewhere with his wife and his son. And I have to go through quite a lot of missions where I'm playing a boring ranch hand.
This is just an epilogue, like.
So there's two like extra chapters which are epilogues containing how many missions each. I'm not kidding you. There are two missions where once again, I'm cleaning horseshit, and two, I'm making fences. Now, fine. It's immersive. It's interesting. I guess it's the best horse shoveling game you're ever going to play.
But I guess it's too realistic.
But it's just like, you left me at a moment that I kind of fell out of favour with. And the epilogue keeps going. Like the game, it keeps going. The game, it just feels too long at the end of it. So everything I'm talking about now is my kind of reflections after finishing the game. It's so incredibly long that when you finish, it took me weeks to finish it. Because obviously working through the week, I didn't have a load of time to just sit down and get through it. Even when I did, the first few days I got it, I basically spent all my waking hours playing it. And I was still like, oh my God, I'm on chapter freaking 3 of 8, I think. You just keep going. And then scenes change and different characters come in. And suddenly you're in fucking Cuba and you're all over the place. Spoilers, you're in Cuba or some island like Cuba. And you're just, whoa, hang on a minute. You know, how am I going to get to the, you know, Red Dead 1? So what I'm leading to here is I came to this, I came to this point where I am now with a question. Is it okay for a game to be more art than it is game? Because that's kind of what you feel like with this. All the plaudits are for this incredible product that has been made. And it is. I will give it a 10 out of 10 for all of that. Stylistically, it's beautiful. You know, story-wise, it's kind of okay, but also really enjoyable. You know, these are characters we do know, characters we get to know. You do enjoy it. It deserves a 10 out of 10 in those areas. But as a game, I thought some of the gameplay wasn't great. The characters can be very slow to move physically. Horses are quite tricky to get a hold of for us because you've got to, you know, kind of time your button presses with the gallop of the horse to make sure their stamina doesn't run out and that they don't get too dirty. The game opens up, you're in a blizzard, and you know, that's incredibly slow move. And I thought, okay, well, it's in a blizzard. But then we get into summertime and it's like, okay, I'm still just fucking waddling everywhere. Some of the shooting isn't great. It's, you know, you can, of course, turn on the settings that basically locks onto targets. But sometimes if you're doing your quick draws, you're like, oh, I don't know where I'm aiming. And you're just like, is it okay to forgive those frustrations? Because it's such a beautiful game and it's such an amazing piece of work. I don't know if it is.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I think that first and foremost, it has to be a game. It has to be enjoyable. Yeah. I mean, it's very well to say that, you know, it looks beautiful and it is a piece of art and stuff. But if they were going to do that, they would just release a load of, you know, cutscenes and just make a movie or whatever. It's the gameplay is what's going to draw you back.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, Spyro looks better now, but the main point of the game is to play it and to collect all the things and to free all the dragons, and that's the reason to play the game. You're not playing it because, oh, Spyro's tail moves very nicely now, you know.
Yeah, there's a here's a quote from a review from US Gamer that says, is Red Dead Redemption 2 better than the first game? Very much so. Is Red Dead Redemption 2 perfect? No. Rockstar Games has crafted this huge, beautiful world with an attention to detail that's astounding. I appreciate the attention to detail, but Red Dead Redemption 1 had great attention to detail for a PS3 game. And I do think it was a bit of a better game. There are moments in that I still find amazing. The moment I mentioned at the start, the Jose Gonzalez song, that kind of moment is shoehorned to this game 3 different times. Oh, there's 3 times where you've got to kind of go for a long ride and a song starts to play. The first time it happened, I'm like, there it is. That's the moment. Great. I'm glad they did something like that. Second time, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I get it. Two, it's more, it's bigger. Then the third time, I'm like, you're taking the piss. It's, you know, I just find the balancing act between you making a really, really staggeringly good game and then also making something that's a piece of art is still not entirely met yet.
And do you think that maybe they've just focused on so much on making this the biggest game ever and just putting so much into it that they've kind of forgotten about the core mechanics of it?
Well, I think very possibly, but let's look at the new Rockstar model of making games, which started with Grand Theft Auto 5. Make a big game. First of all, I still think Grand Theft Auto 5 is a much better game than Red Dead Redemption 2. But what they've done is they made a game that you can play through, and that's kind of it. You can play again if you want. But they gave you Grand Theft Auto Online, which people are addicted to. There is now Red Dead Redemption Online, which is a similar kind of situation. That review that I just quoted ended up saying, oh, Red Dead Redemption 2 is a fantastic game that should keep players satisfied for another 8 years. Yes, through the online feature. Now, as a game, I'm not going to knock that. How many games? You know, every second game now has an online multiplayer kind of thing. It's fine. It's how people play games. I get it. But when you buy a disc, especially from Rockstar, you expect to play the story and the game. I don't think it lived up to the hype. I don't think it lived up to its, you know, its, I was ready to go say its prequel, the one that came before it, which technically comes after it. Goddamn George Lucas of video games.
The pre-sequel.
The pre-sequel. The preceding prequel. You know, did I enjoy it? Yes, I did. Did I come away feeling fulfilled? No. I did when at the point where the character you spend the vast majority of the game playing, when his story ends, I'm like, okay, it's done. You know, I got to witness his story. I might have been happy with some parts, but I got to witness his story. But then it keeps going. And I do feel like some of that is for the sake of lengthening out the game. They could have made that ending so much more compact, those epilogues. Like, it really does actually annoy me just how incredibly long and tedious and drawn out they were.
And did you just buy a normal version of the game? It wasn't like a deluxe version?
No, that's so just...
It's not like these epilogues are like downloadables,
no,
or...
No, they're bog standard. They're perfect. Okay. Also, as well, I should say, there's like a time span difference between when you play as Arthur Morgan and when you play as John Marston. Which I learned the hard way, because of course I ignored a load of stuff as Arthur Morgan because I just wanted to make my way through the story, a load of the side missions, and sure, when I started to play as John Marston, all the side missions were gone. So I'm like, great, do I have to go back and start a game again? Hello, work? Yes, I'm sorry, I won't be in for next month. I've got to do a chapter in Red Dead Redemption 2.
I've become a prospector back in the old west.
And look, I'm sure there's a ton of stuff to do in the game that I didn't get around to. Maybe that's just my fault. But part of me wishes the game could have maybe just put up a thing to say, hey, you'd want to do some of these side missions by now. So, like, I think it's an incredible piece of work. It should be it's something that Rockstar should be proud of as a piece of art, as something that people can walk around and say, holy crap, look at these mountains, look at that water, look at these, you know, these characters look so real. As a game, as something that I want to play, I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I spoke to friends in work who were playing this, and they were all saying how amazing it is, and like, I get it. I absolutely get it. Some of the story missions are incredible, where you're just kind of like, whoa, you know, that really happened. I really got into this fight or whatever. But overall, I just felt a little cold. Maybe it's because of the whole prequelness of it that I started the game like, well, I actually know what's going to happen to these characters. Quite a few characters in the game who are in Red Dead Redemption 1. And you're like, oh, sorry, but I've seen you with your brains blasted out already. So I guess overall, I was a little disappointed. It's an incredible thing. It's a bit of a supermodel of a game. Incredible to look at, but you know what? There's not much there.
Sorry to any supermodels that are listening.
To our any Swedish supermodels that may be listening right now. So I was a little disappointed. I interested to see what ever Rockstar do next. Grand Theft Auto 6.
I suppose if you know the online works, that they'll just keep adding on to that. And I think that's the problem with Grand Theft Auto, that they'll probably never make another Grand Theft Auto because they'll we can just put in another patch to the game we already have and make
Wash your mouth.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, actually, I tell you what playing Red Dead Redemption 2 made me do was go out and get Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PS4. That's a lot of numbers there, I just realised. So it's like, it is an impressive piece of work. But I just felt cold at the end of it. Like, I don't know. According to all the reviews, it must be me. I didn't do it properly. I didn't get immersed enough properly. I didn't spend 100 hours, you know, trying to figure out how to put shoes on my horse properly. Because there's so much realism in this game, such as your horse shitting everywhere. Because that's what we want.
He doesn't have to go to the toilet at any point in the game.
Trust me, there is so much horse shit. Oh, anyway. I'm so glad.
To end the game on a downer.
What?
To end the game on a downer.
I know. I feel like I'm actually going to get people. This is going to be the first time that we're ever going to get comments from people saying, hey, fuck you guys.
Your opinions are stupid and you're stupid and I hate you, stupid.
You know, you sound like a white guy in the internet, you know. My opinions matter, goddammit. I don't know. I'm just looking forward to Grand Theft Auto 6 if it ever comes out. Or I actually just realized I had Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and Vice City in my PlayStation store. So I'm going to, I don't know, I have no time off, but I'm going to try and play them at some point. I've somehow accumulated quite a bunch of games I want to play. God of War, I got a new Super Mario World, Super Mario Brothers I should say. I got that Pokemon Pikachu thing. Steep. Did you play Steep?
No, I haven't yet, actually.
Oh, it's really good.
Really?
It's really good. Yeah, I was looking out for a long time to get. It's actually very expensive. Hey, by the way, listeners, sorry. If you're a PS Plus subscriber, this January you can get Steep. It's really good.
It's like SSX tricky. Like new.
Did you play the new SSX that came out on PS3?
No, I didn't actually.
I have it here beside me. I think I played it once. I'm like, oh, it's not good. I can't remember. I don't know why I never went back to it. But Steep is good. I like Steep. If you like Steep, let us know. Trust me, it's a good podcast at gmail.com. I want to hear your opinions on Red Dead Redemption 2.
Tell Kevin he's wrong.
Do you think it's better or worse than Spyro? That's the question of the day. Who would win in a fight, John Marston or Spyro the Dragon?
I'm putting my money on the fire breathing one.
John Marston it is. Jokes. Trust me, it's a good podcast at gmail.com, at Trust Me Podcast on Twitter, facebook.com/trustmeitsgood. And anytime we talk about music, you usually find a track from something along that with over on tiny.cc/TMIG Spotify to our big mega playlist that's actually probably impossible to listen to.
Just to add one thing to the music, if you want to listen to some of the Spyro music, the composer of the original game and got back on for the remaster is one Stuart Copeland of The Police.
That's brilliant.
And he has one of the songs, I think it was called Rain, from one of the original game's levels on one of his solo albums. So
cool.
Check out Rain by Stuart Copeland if you want to hear the music of Spyro the Dragon.
That's cool. But all I'm picturing now is, remember back in the 90s when like the Paula Abdul video, when it's like live action with some animation stuff.
With the cat.
All I'm picturing is Stuart Copeland jamming with Spyro.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'll have a bit of that, thank you.
Oh, for that. Go check us out online. Let us know what you thought of all these games. What was your game of the year? And what else do you hate about Red Dead Redemption 2? Until next time, I'm Kevin Kelly.
I'm Aidan Delaney.
See yous again.